over the world. And the solution, one of the many solutions that were there that God has given us to have victory over our current culture, is to build a strong faith. Another one being to walk closely with God, because ultimately the goal is to not have that influence in your life. And then our final conclusion there was to build a strong home as well as church family that does not tolerate such things. And to many of the world, they get upset about that. You know, well, why would you sequester them off from this? Why would you hold them back from exposure to this, that, or the other? It's controlling. Listen, you know, when I took my kids down, we went down on Monday. We thank the church for allowing us to do that, but we went there on Monday. So that way, Tuesday, we could get up, and we found some hiking trails, and we went for a hike. And I told the boys, hey, guys, just a reminder, we are not in Michigan. And I have to tell them that because they will pick up every snake and every crawling critter they can find. This is just a reminder, don't pick anything up until we can look at it and say it's not going to bite you. That is how controlling I am as a father. I don't want anything venomous getting my kids. Now here's the thing. We sit there, we feel all manner of bad for the snake. Well, it's not the snake's fault, it's venomous. Right? That snake needs that venom. It's how it eats. It's how it, you know, and we would sit there, we would turn it over to the entertainment industry. Well, it's not its fault that it's dangerous. It's just what people are willing to buy. People like things that hypersexualize people and hypersexualize children. And people like watching that stuff. And they like watching cuss word stuff and violent stuff and bloody stuff. And it's not its fault. It's the consumer's fault for touching it. And they only want it when it's hyperinflated with sin. You're just being mean. Now, I'm being protective. And not just for my kids, but for myself. Why would I go out there and do it? All right, now kids, I never want to see you doing this. That was my dad. I never want to see you drinking. I never want to see you smoking. And you better believe he had a beer and a cigarette in his hand when he said it. What am I going to do, sit there and indulge in sin, bring it into my house, and be utterly surprised when my kids pick it up? My brother's a smoker, and he started off by, guess whose cigarettes he started off by stealing? It's my dad's. He's a drinker. Guess who he was stealing from first? My dad. And there's many conditions. I sit there and go, I don't want to have anything that I've brought into the house that I've shared down to my kids that they literally got from me. So we build these arcs and protections. But as we'll look at this morning, not every home is as protected as it should be. Sometimes the very problems within our home come from within the home itself. It's the people. What happens when the home is a more dangerous place or just as dangerous as the culture around us? Luke chapter 15, verse 11. Luke chapter 15 and verse 11. Should be very familiar to you here. And it says, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, but no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Familial problems will happen. Why? Because you ain't got nothing but a bunch of sinners in your house. It's just the way of it. We set out on the road on Monday, and we were having a good time. And we got all the way there, and we made good time, and we had a good time. By the end of the week, about 5 hours into the trip home, the sinners started to come out. Everybody was tired. Everyone was sick of being in the car. And if I could just be quite honest, everybody was being a little sick of being on top of everybody else. We got a good-sized house. We got a good-sized yard. If you get tired of being around people, there's a lot of places you could go be and be all by yourself, and it's wonderful. And being in a small hotel and being in a tiny car and driving that distance, you start to grind on each other. It could be just the two of you in a car, and you start to grind on each other. It's not good. There's a bunch of sinners in your house. It could be one, could be 10. They're all sinners. Turmoil will take place. And I've heard people, they talk about this, they use, instead of turmoil, they use the word trauma. I'm not going to use the word trauma, because trauma happens after the turmoil. Trauma is what happens after the tornado, right? I look at a house that has been obliterated, right? The furniture's in the front yard. The roof is two counties away. A tornado hit it. Turmoil hit it. And then what's left? We see pictures. You know, Channel 7 News is out there taking photos of the trauma, of the damage that was done. Every family faces problems from time to time. And how we address those problems will affect how quickly healing is done, if healing is done at all. Your ability to stop your own foolish behavior, as well as to de-escalate foolish behavior in the home, or if they have moved out, foolish behavior in the family, will make a big difference. We must first look at the reasons for family turmoil. In Jewish culture, what this young man did could be done. Legally, he could get this done if he could prove some manner of abuse or poor treatment of the father. But of course, it could also just be done if the dad says, I don't want to go through a legal process. I don't want to fight with you. I love you. Here's your half anyway. We do not know if there were abusive conditions in the home. We do not know if the father was cheating him. We don't know if the father was mistreating him. We don't know. For all we know, and all the Bible really gives us an example of, or gives us a glimpse of here, is that the man got a wild hair up his nose and decided to go to the far country. But even if dad had messed up, can we all agree it was foolish to go to the far country? And his desire to go to the far country was problematic for his life. It bit him. There's a lot of people out there, they say, well, because of what happened to me as a child, it led me to do serious sin. And that sin debilitated me, destroyed my life, ruined my future, and it goes on and on and on. Here's the problem. Whatever happened in that home, and I don't think there was, because I think the Bible would have told us, his life was ruined by that far country. His life was ruined by the far country. The sin that he committed, the things that he did, his foolishness with his cash, the foolishness of where he was, putting himself into a position to where it could all be taken away so fast, is what ruined his decisions, ruined his life. I'll give you this illustration. I didn't have an abusive home, but if my parents screamed at me every day and belittled me and abused me, that could cause a lot of things in my life. But if I grow up and I do the same thing to my children, that's on me. Amen? If I grow up and my parents are frivolous with their money, they're terrible savers, they don't invest, they don't grow, they don't spend money on things that matter, that will show interest, that will protect them, if they're not building their lives, but instead they're just throwing the money out the window, and I grow up and I do the same, whose fault is it? As mine. Because I should have learned firsthand that verbal abuse, physical abuse, financial abuse, whatever, I saw firsthand the destruction this caused. And then I grew up and I looked at other people and I said, well, look at what they're doing. They're investing in land, and look at what they're doing. They're building on that land. Look at them. They're working hard. They're getting the degree. They got the job. They went to the job. They're working their way up the ladder. They're doing everything right. I see them. And I see that that is leading to success. I see that they don't have worries about how their rent's going to get paid. They're not concerned about their health care. They're not concerned about paying their bills, because they are doing the things that lead you to paid bills and happy relationships and no abuse and no anxiety. They're doing the things. They're being good stewards. And I could look over there and I could say, all right, I have a choice. I could do what they're doing, or I can do what they're doing. And ultimately, the next decision's my fault. If I choose righteous living, not righteous living, riotous living, that's my fault. Now, I set you up here for this. Letter A in your notes. A focus on self. A focus on self. What we see first and foremost are parents that lose focus. And forgive me for delineating from our passage of Scripture a little bit, but I will tell you, and the Bible backs it up, the problems in the home start with the parents long before the kids are born. The way you treat each other, the way you respect the home, the way you prioritize yourself over other things, will affect the entirety of your marriage and will affect the entirety of your child rearing process. And then when they grow up, it's going to affect that too. Now, you can prioritize your family without completely neglecting yourself. As a matter of fact, if you don't take care of yourself to a certain extent, you will make messes in the family. I'll give you a case in point. There's a lot of people my age and younger, they do not go to bed. They stay up, they play video games, they stare at their phones, they stay up to the wee hours of the night, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, and then the kids, they got to get up for the school bus at 7:15. That means that mama or daddy are sitting at around 5 to 6 hours of sleep, just depending on when they got there, and they get up. Now, how do you feel after 5 or 6 hours of sleep? You have completely saturated your brain with blue light half the night. So first of all, your brain's cleaned out. Your brain is already functioning in the lowest that it possibly can. And then you added 5 hours of ineffectual sleep on top of it. And now you're up. What kind of mood is mom and dad in? They're cranky and they're irritable. Now that's just when you're raising kids, right? Wrong. You do that at your age, you're doing it to your spouse, you're doing it to your grown kids, you're doing it to your neighbors, and now everybody gets the worst version of you because you refuse to take care of yourself and go to sleep. You following me? Prioritizing others does not mean you stop taking care of yourself. Right? My biggest concern is to making sure, right now, because we got kids, my biggest concern for my family is to make sure everybody is fed, taught, and washed. That is what we spend the most of our work on. Is everybody fed? Is everybody educated? And is everybody clean? At least to the best that we can. We're entering into that season where we make sure that bath time comes right before bedtime. Because otherwise I got a couple that would go right out there still wet from the shower and they will go roll in the dirt. And that's okay, they're kids. Man, that's what I spend probably the most of my time with my family doing. Are we these three things? If dad's not washed, if dad's not fed, if dad's not doing the stuff that he's supposed to be doing for himself, it's absolutely going to ruin everything going on in the house. So to prioritize the family doesn't mean you do less for yourself. We're specifically talking about things that you do to hurt others. And I wouldn't even call it a blessing to bless yourself, but you're hurting others so you can sin. When parents lose focus, no matter what age the children are, when parents lose focus on what matters most, you are opening the door wide to any wolf that would dare enter in. If honoring the Lord doesn't dictate what you're watching, what you're listening to, what you're consuming, what you're doing with your free time, if honoring the Lord does not consume that, you will open the door to very serious problems. There will be things that come in that dishonor the Lord, things that come in that anger the Lord, and you'll be fine with it because your main focus is either your sin nature or your belly. And it will cause much problems. There was a time in my life I'd sit there, man, I was big on taking that second portion. I'm not telling you anything you couldn't guess. You know what I noticed? One of the boys would go, and they would get more. Never were that hungry before, but they'd go and they'd get more. And at first it wasn't a big deal. And then I started noticing them going and getting more just because I went to go get more. They weren't halfway done with theirs. They got, at that point, it was undeniable. You're getting more because dad's getting more. I lost focus, but they shared my vision. You have to be careful. We lose focus on what discipline is. If your children are over 18 and they're out of the house, you are no longer a disciplinarian to them. And that's hard because that's how you kept them safe for years. Amen. That's how you kept them safe. You didn't discipline out of habit. You didn't discipline out of attitude. You didn't discipline out of anger. You disciplined to keep them safe. I told you not to go play out in the road. Told you I better not catch you riding your bicycle out in the middle of the street. That was my mom. That was my mom and my dad. Dude, we better not catch you. You can go for a bike ride. My parents used to let me go for these long bike rides, and they said as long as we don't catch you out in the street, that's okay. Every now and then, they'd go out and spy on me. Can you believe that? I can't believe they would leave their home, get in their car, and go to make sure I wasn't riding down the center of the street. And I was so incensed about it, I refused to hear anything they said about having caught me riding my bike in the middle of the street. You listening? We throw up this defense. How dare you look at... I caught you. It's dangerous. And because it's dangerous, you insisting on doing it is foolish. You have been punished for this before. So now that's extra foolish. I don't know what to do with you. So they would take the bicycle away. They would take my ability to take long bike rides away. Why? Because I proved to them that I would take that privilege and try to kill myself with it. Right? I grew up with kids. They were just as dangerous behind the wheel of a car as they were on the bike. For their parents to hand them the keys would be to hand them the keys to suicide. They were reckless. And the more you told them to stop, the more reckless they became. So how did mom and dad? They took it away. What was the purpose of that discipline? Control? No. To protect you. You are showing signs of poor decision making. And not just poor decision making, but deadly decision making. So we're going to slow you down and we're going to re-educate you. You see this needle? For every 5 miles it goes up, it greatly affects your ability to survive hitting something. It increases the likelihood of you hitting something. You get behind the wheel of a car and you're going about 5 miles an hour, that's like Chihuahua speed. A Chihuahua will bite you. You ever notice that? My mom loves Chihuahuas. She's always had Chihuahuas. I can't stand them. Those things will bite you. The only difference is why we keep getting them is because we don't care about that bite. They're so adorable. It's, I can't hurt you. A pit bull might bite you, but I guarantee you're going to be affected by it. And we think that a little 5 miles over, we think the more that we survive these bites in the car, these 5 mile an hour bites, and we go higher and higher, we think it's going to be okay till we get a good one. So what does mom and dad got to do? We got to lock it down. You can't do it anymore until you realize you could die. But folks, if we as parents lose the focus of what discipline is for, if you're disciplining because you had a bad day at work, you're going to create something in your children that's just terrible. I mean, forgive me for not using clinical terms here. It's going to be bad. If you're taking your anxiety home with you, right? Your boss yelled at you. You had a hard day. Things weren't going well. And you bring it home and you dump it down on those kids. You might as well punch them in the face. Emotionally, it would do less damage if you just punched them in the face. We don't discipline because we're tired. We don't discipline because we're irritated. We don't discipline in ways that are affected by our mood, right? Nor our twisted sense of what justice is. Right? You look at the Duggars. Another Duggar made the news. They found out the husband was bad. Then they come into the house. You know what they find? They find that they were locking the kids inside the room. Now, I'm sure it's not good to joke about it, but there's probably been a lot of parents who thought about it. But it's a wicked thing to do it. And you already know why you shouldn't do that. In case there is a fire, everybody needs to get out. Also, it's weird to have to restrict and treat your children like a prisoner. That means that you do not have effective enough tools to have educated them proper. What is it? It's vindictive, it's mean, and it's nasty. Right? Certain ways of disciplining the kids, right? We talk about spanking. Spanking is one thing. You're taking a soft thing and you're hitting another soft thing. It's almost like that area was designed to catch that. Your children are not designed to be smacked in the face. Your children are not designed to be screamed at, no matter what age. When parents lose focus, we damage the children. When we decide what kind of parent to be, we need to look at God the Father. Whether your mom or your dad, your focus is on God the Father. God does not tolerate punishment. God does not tolerate disobedience, and he will punish it. But he does so with mercy and with grace. You with me? And the only reason why he brings punishment into your life is to make you better. He doesn't do it because he's mad at you. He doesn't do it because he's trying to exercise some of that pent-up aggression he's got. He doesn't do it because his daddy beat him. He does it in a way that is guaranteed to make you a better person. He shows us mercy. He shows us grace. I've known some parents, man, every word out of their mouth is a correction to those children. There's nothing they can say that mom and dad don't jump down on them and correct them for this and correct them for that. And those kids, they're terrified to move, terrified to talk, and they grow up to be just the most riddled with problem people that you could meet. There's got to be a purpose to our growing and shaping of people. And as they get up and they get out of your house, you need to remember the grace that God shows you and the patience. God does not move. God does not agree to sin. God does not tell you you're good just because he wants you to show up to dinner on Sunday. But he absolutely shows mercy and compassion. We need to keep our focus. Parents losing focus on the godly example. Parents losing focus on what matters the most have ruined this country. They've ruined it. There are many families out there right now that the start of them, the foundation of them is this. Hey, listen, you remember that night a few weeks ago? Yeah, I'm pregnant. Well, I don't want it. Here's $400. Well, I'm keeping it. I can't do that. I'm keeping it. I won't have anything to do with it. Or you see this. That's wonderful. Let's get married. Right? Because wasn't that the solution for every little thing? Let's just get married. What's that? We caught you in the back of the car? You're getting married. What's that? She's underage and you did something inappropriate with her? You did something illegal with her? Get married. Get married. And then what happens? He goes out for milk. He doesn't come back. A lot of kids sitting in homes waiting for dad to come back with the milk. Why? That dude lost focus. And we can't just pick on the men. Women do it all the time too. They find some guy with a big wad of cash, a big old house, and he makes her feel special, so she gives it all up. And when he gets bored with her, he dumps her and she comes crawling back. Hey, listen, I'm sorry, I messed up. And how do you explain to those kids? The mom didn't want you for 2 years because someone was providing for her things that she felt were necessary. But now that she can't have those things anymore, she's willing to accept you as a door prize. We have ruined this country as parents. What ultimately is our focus? Here's what I tell Xander all the time now that he's old enough. I said, son, there is one man who is invested and interested in making you better than he is, and it's me. But in order for me to be able to say that, I need to prove it. I need to build into him. I promised my kids, I promised Danielle and I, we promised this to each other. We would give our kids the things we never had. Now, here's the problem. I had video games. I had food. I had new clothes every time the layaway got paid up. You know, we had it all. We did. We were by far not the richest group in the school. We didn't have what a lot of the things that the other people had. We had everything we needed, and it was wonderful. So I had toys, whatever, we had them. So when my wife and I, we tell each other, we want to give our kids what we never had. We want to grow up in godly homes. We want them to grow up in godly homes. We want to teach them the Bible. Not just have them exposed to the Bible in church on Sunday when I bring them in. I want to teach you the Bible. Xander's turned 13 now, and we started a few months back now, on Tuesdays, when I'm up here doing my work, I'll bring him with me. And he does his schoolwork, and I'll do mine. We sit there, and for about 45 minutes, sometimes up to an hour, and if he's feeling chatty, maybe even a little bit longer, and we're going through the book of Proverbs. And when we're done with the book of Proverbs, we're going to start in Genesis. We're going to work our way through. Dad's going to teach you the Bible. Well, what about Sunday school? Sunday school's going great. Well, what about church services? I think church services are going okay, but I'm a little biased. I'm the preacher. I think we're covering a lot of good ground here in the church, right? That's just my opinion. But I'm dad. I have to take care of it. I cannot sit there and say my job as dad is satisfied because I'm also a pastor. I've seen that. It doesn't go well. You've seen it too. Maybe not here, but you've looked outward to people that didn't give a minute to the spiritual education of their children, and you saw how it went. My wife's job is not satisfied because her husband is the pastor. So get those Bibles out. Well, brother, again, our children are gone. Aren't you just preaching at yourself? A little bit. You know, I'm never picking on you guys. I'm always picking on me when I pick on people with kids. But it never ends. When those kids look over at you, you need to be a source of biblical education, period. Well, if I tell them biblical things, they might not come around. If you don't tell them biblical things, they won't have the answer. You following me? I know it's easy for me to look at my kids and when they're young, say, hey, you want me to tell you what you want to hear? Or do you want me to tell you the thing that's going to help you? Because it doesn't matter which they pick. It's not like they're going anywhere. They can't drive. But they need to find within you a source of wisdom, no matter what age they are. I know of somebody right now, they kind of do what we're doing, where we get a brand new member, we go through discipleship course. All of our teen boys are going down there right now. They're going through the discipleship course. It's the same class I taught when I first got here. Glenda's gone through it. Jada sat through it with her. And at any given point, we just hand that, hey, here you go, go through the material. A lot of material we had to fix in there, but that's okay. So we fix it. And we educate and we teach. But he had the opportunity when somebody went through it with him. And he was it. He was up to teach. And the next person to teach was his own son. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Parents cannot lose focus. No matter how hard it gets. And no matter how old they get. We can't lose focus. And I'll sit there and I'll even give you this. We can't lose focus on what our responsibility is. We'll look at this when it comes down to the younger people, but don't lose this example. What did the son do when he realized he messed up? I sinned against God and I sinned against you. Not, I'm sorry, but you were a difficult child. Now, I'm sorry, but I was having a bad day. I'm sorry, but you've got to remember how I grew up. I grew up at a different time. Not, I'm sorry, but Daddy needs to blow off some steam. Not, I'm sorry, but I sinned against God. I sinned against you. Your kids catch you in a lie. I don't care how old they are. I sinned against God. I sinned against you. No, it's okay, Dad. I understand. No. I sinned against God, and I sinned against you. I appreciate you wanting to let me off the hook, but God's got to let me off the hook, and He don't do that. I have to apologize. I'm sorry. What I did was wrong outside of my opinion of it and your opinion of it, because God's opinion of it was I shouldn't have done it. So parents, do not lose focus. Well, I've got grandkids now. Even more so, do not lose focus. Man, we joke about this all the time, and I know a lot of people joke about it, but I tell you what, I feel like I'm not joking. These grandparents are not the people that raised me. They are not. Sit there, my dad sends text messages to my son. Just happy, wonderful things. Like, Dad, you never sent me a text message in your life. Danielle got to a certain age, and her dad, you know, bless his heart, he's had strokes, he had a stroke and things like that. But he started not only sending her messages, but I love you. And he sent her pictures, like those little emoji pictures that they put out there. She goes, my dad just sent me an emoji. I'm like, is he having another stroke? Just a serious guy. Nothing wrong with him. Nothing mean. Nothing bad. He's just a very serious guy. Sending funny little phone pictures. Something happened. And I'll give you a hint. On my side is these four little kids. They came by and completely changed. My mom called. We will go down to a conference for Flat Rock, and they'll put us up for the night. Brother Hugh can always ask, you want a hotel? And I said, no, if I did that, my mom would be mad at both of us. What kind of Pop-Tarts do they like? Pop-Tarts. Mom, we're going to be there for one morning. Yeah, but I want to get at least two different kinds. I find out what kind of cereal they like. Mom, they do not need Pop-Tarts and cereal, remember? That's greedy. Remember, we're not allowed to have two different kinds of breakfasts, right? Remember, we'd watch the commercials and you'd say, well, who's making that much food? She was, hush. It's not the same woman. We didn't have McDonald's money growing up. We have McDonald's money now. I'm confused. You know, it's one thing to soften. You know, that's funny. But you be the same godly person in church as you are with those grandbabies. Go ahead and spoil them. That's fine. Someone's got to. But be the same godly influence that you should be in church to them. What's wrong is wrong. What's right is right. Both are decided by God, not you, not your situation, not culture. Keep your focus. Man, by the time you get down to the great-grandbabies, everybody in the family ought to know who you are. Everybody in the family ought to know what you stand for. Now, you'll have to tell me, I don't know, if you want to spoil the great-grandbabies as badly as you did the grandbabies, but I'll tell you this. When we lose focus, we ruin all of culture. When we ruin people with our sin, we are blasting a hole into their future. Now, can God mend it? Yeah, but don't you dare be the one to break it. Can God save them and heal them and make them better? Absolutely, but you don't want to be the person who blows a hole in what God made. Don't lose focus. And when we do lose focus, the answer is simple. I sinned against God. I sinned against you. I'm sorry. And let me throw another one in here for you. What can I do to make this better? What can I do to make this better? I knew of a very sad circumstance where parents had completely destroyed the relationship. It was on both sides, sin on both sides, just like every other war that's ever been. But what the young child asked for, what the young person asked for was, you need to give me some space. So the parents kept coming over to the house and coming over to the house and coming over to the house and calling on the phone and calling on the phone and calling over the phone. Nothing says, I respect you, I love you, and I'm going to behave like refusing to work with them as adults. So patience. Right? I had a teacher, and he liked pranks. And I lacked social graces. Or as many of people who raised me or taught me would say, I didn't know when to quit. And he was a big man, sat about 500 pounds. It was a blessing he made it into the school every day. But at a certain weight, if your knees go over your belly button, you're not getting back up. I didn't know this. I went over. He was out in the bathroom or out in the hallway. I went over to his chair. I lowered his chair all the way down. I went to his pen. He had a big old cup full of pens. I went to his pen cup. I grabbed it. He had a refrigerator underneath his desk where he kept pops and snacks and things like that. I took his pen cup, his gel pen cup, and I put it in the fridge. I screenshotted his computer, and then I deleted all the icons. So he saw pictures of the icons that he could click on, but none of them were real icons. They were just pictures of icons. I taped the button on his phone down. And in quick succession, it went like this. He sat down. He immediately knew he was stuck. He went to go click on the thing to take attendance. Click, 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 click. He could move the mouse around. Click, 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 click. Couldn't get him to come up. He's getting frustrated now. So he goes to pick up the phone to call the IT guy. Wouldn't call out because I taped the button down. So he slams the phone down, goes to write a note, and he's going to have me go deliver it. Matt, come up here. I need you to... He can't find his pen cup. I'm like, this is going better and worse than I thought it would. And as his face turns bright red, the phone rings. He picks it up and she keeps it ringing. I didn't expect for it to go like that. I didn't expect for him to get so angry. I was an idiot freshman in high school, and I was just being an idiot. I apologized. I told him as much. And he says, you need to just go away for a little bit. And I did. And 2 days later, we could laugh about it. Well, he could laugh about it. I was still too scared. You got to give a sinful heart time to cool. Forgiveness is demanded of God, or demanded by God. But it takes a while to shift these sinful hearts over to it. You can't expect immediate everything goes back to normal. You got to give it time. We'll look at the kids next week, Lord willing. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this. Lord, I'm sorry I'm going so slow, but this is a very important thing for us. We need to, by all means, make sure that we are not the source of problems. Whether we are parents, whether we are spouses, whether we are children, we have to honor you with our behavior. And Lord, I pray that every day we check ourselves to make sure our behavior is honoring you and, Lord, is not causing problems around us. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for your example. For its name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.